Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, dear sisters and brothers in Christ, we celebrated the 4th of July this last Friday. The 4th of July, Independence Day, it's etched into the very fabric of our national identity. It's a day of parades and picnics, of fireworks lighting up the sky, and a deep reflection maybe also on the extraordinary declaration made some 249 years ago. It's popping up on the screen that all people are created equal, endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, among them life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So as we gather as a congregation, grateful for the freedoms that we have and enjoy in this land, freedom secured by the sacrifices of so many, and preserved by the grace of God, as Christians, we gather this 4th of July weekend with thanksgiving. We recognize the hand of God that established and preserves our nation. But know this, that our faith calls us to a deeper look, okay? Beyond the festivities that we may have celebrated, to consider these freedoms that we enjoy and what they truly mean in light of the ultimate freedom that we find in Jesus Christ. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Galatians 5:1, we read that last Sunday. And our gospel lesson for today, as I said in the intro from Luke chapter 10, it may seem kind of far removed from the celebration of Independence Day, because it recounts Jesus sending out the 72 disciples. Two by two, he sent them out into the towns and into the villages that he was about to visit. But I think as we dive into this passage, I believe that we can discover a profound connection between the missions of those early disciples and our call as Christians in a free land, particularly in the time we find ourselves today. So the theme or the big thought of the day is we are sent out for freedom. Sent out for freedom. Jesus, he appointed 72 others, sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. So if you will, imagine the moment these disciples, they are not the inner 12, it appears, from the text, right? It's a larger group, and they were given this direct commission by the Lord Jesus Christ. They were sent with a purpose. They were to prepare the way for Jesus. They were to proclaim the kingdom of God, and they were to bring healing. So this July 4th weekend, we celebrate a nation that's founded on the principles of freedom. But freedom, dear friends, is never merely an end in itself. True freedom, whether it's political or spiritual, is always a freedom for something. It's a freedom for something. It's a freedom for responsibility. It's a freedom for purpose. It's a freedom for mission. Our founders, many of them who had deep faith, as far as I'm concerned, and they understood this. They spoke of unalienable rights endowed by a creator. And this wasn't some kind of anarchy. It wasn't some kind of a self-indulgence. It was a recognition, I hope you see it as well, of a divine ordering that called individuals to exercise their liberty, their freedom, responsibly within a moral framework. We call it the Ten Commandments. As Americans and Christians, we are not only citizens of this nation, of the United States of America, but we're also citizens of the eternal kingdom in heaven. We are free in Christ. We're free from the law's condemnation. We're free from sin's power. We're free from death's sting. And from this freedom, purchased for us by our Lord Jesus Christ, paying the cost, means then we too are sent out. We're sent out. We have a call to be sent out. See, and that call is to be a disciple. The call is for discipleship in a free land. Dear friends, we are sent into our homes, we're sent into our workplaces, our communities, our nation, and even the world. We are sent out to be Christ's hands and feet, are we not? We are sent out to be His voice and His heart. We are sent out to prepare the way for the kingdom of God to break into people's lives. Just as Jesus sent out His disciples with specific instructions, right? He said, don't carry a bag, take no knapsack, no sandals, and to greet no one on the road. We too are called to travel light, if you will, okay? We shouldn't get encumbered by the things of this world that's going to distract us from the ultimate mission in our lives. It doesn't mean that we abandon all of our personal and earthly responsibilities. That's not what this means. What it means is our priorities aligned with Christ? Our ultimate security, our ultimate provision, are they in Him? They're not coming from the fleeting things of this world, dear friends. Jesus immediately identifies this core challenge. It's on the screen. He says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. What are you to do? Pray. Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. So the harvest is plentiful. I think about that in our context, in our own time and place that we find ourselves here in 2025. We still live in a nation blessed with freedom. The spiritual harvest remains vast. People are searching. You know they are. They're searching for meaning. They're searching for hope. They're searching to belong. They're burdened by anxiety and fractured by division and yearning for true peace inside themselves and outside themselves. How about the pursuit of happiness? I think it's so eloquently articulated in the declaration. Often, though, it leads, I think, to empty promises and fleeting pleasures. Promised by politicians, of course. But true and lasting happiness, true joy is found, as we know why we're gathered here today, only in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And the harvest just isn't out there in a distant land somewhere. We know it's right here. It's in your family circle. It's in your neighborhood. It's in your school, your workplace, your coffee group, your book study. People are hungry for the gospel, even if they don't know what the name of it is. They're longing for forgiveness. They're longing for reconciliation. They're longing for a kind of freedom that sets the soul free from the burdens of this world and beyond especially. And yet, the laborers are few, Jesus says. And what this does for me, and I hope for you as you hear these words, what this is, it's a stark reminder that the work of the kingdom is immense. And it requires each and every one of us in even small ways as we live Christ-like wherever you may find yourself today. On Friday, July 4th, yes, we celebrated the courage of those who stood up for the freedom. And in a similar vein, let me say, Jesus calls us, you and I, to courageously stand up and step into the harvest field. It isn't just the work of pastors and missionaries, let me say. It's the work of every baptized believer, one soul at a time. It means sharing the good news. What does it mean for us? Laborers, it means sharing the good news of Jesus in our words and our actions. Actions speak louder than words most times, right? But we got to get to the Word because faith comes by hearing. It means living out our vocations, and a vocation is a relationship. So living it out in every relationship that we have in this place, outside of this place, it's in our family, our work, our civic life. We use those areas as avenues to share Christ's love and grace. And we're praying earnestly, I hope, as Jesus commanded, for more laborers into the harvest. And then maybe even for ourselves to be allowed to be used and to be willing to be those laborers. Our freedom as Americans allow us a space, if you will, yet to evangelize. We're free to do that, free to serve, free to speak the truth, free to love without the fear of persecution. We have those freedoms, and it's a profound blessing, dear friends. It's a solemn responsibility as well. Jesus instructs the disciples to greet each house with "Peace be to this house." And if a man of peace is there, the peace will rest on him. And this isn't merely a polite greeting. This is the God's declaration of shalom. It's a holistic well-being. It's a saving presence of God in their presence. And if it's rejected, then the peace is returned to the disciples, to them. So on this 4th of July weekend, we reflect on the divisions that sometimes mark our society. So think about the call of peace. Isn't it even more urgent than ever? I think of our national anthem as well. It speaks of the land of the free and the home of the brave. The peace that Christ offers, we know, is deeper than any political solution. It's a peace that transcends the understanding. It's a peace that can heal brokenness. It's a peace that can foster unity miraculously. But true freedom also includes the freedom to pursue reconciliation. It includes the opportunity to build bridges, to seek common ground with people, to see eye to eye even when you have to agree to disagree. The disciples were also to proclaim, "The kingdom of God has come near you." And that was the core message that Jesus sent them out with. Not a message of human achievement, not a message of self-help. It is a radical declaration that God in Christ has drawn near to you, to us, offering forgiveness and life and salvation. You can see the cross up there. That's where He gave His life for our freedom. And it was under His own authority that He chose to die, and He willingly gave Himself in our place, and then He lived a perfect life as well. He did it in innocence. He did it in righteousness. He died the death of sinners. And why did He do that? Well, so that you and I, who are sinners, could have His righteousness. That we could be granted His righteousness and be declared free. This message is not only for those who are suffering physically, it's for those who are suffering spiritually as well, bound by sin, lost maybe in despair and darkness, like they're down in a hole and you can't see the light on top anymore. Get this, Jesus also grants His disciples authority. He says, "I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you." That's kind of an astonishing promise, isn't it? What it should do for us is that it should remind us that our mission isn't undertaken in our own strength. It comes from the power of Jesus Christ. The spiritual battles that you and I are facing are real, but greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world. And the authority is not for our own glory, but it is to defeat the power of this darkness. And it is to advance the kingdom of God, as Jesus instructed the 72, and He instructs us today as well. The Declaration of Independence speaks of people being invested with certain rights as well. We are, as Christians, invested with the authority and purpose, not of the human government, but of the King of Kings, right? And this authority from the King of Kings, it gives us the authority to be ambassadors, to be reconcilers for Christ, carrying that message of the gospel, that freedom that people can find to a world that desperately needs it. And then finally, the 72 return, and they say, with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your kingdom." Can you imagine their exhilaration coming to tell Jesus that they saw the work of God by the words of their mouth, they'd seen God's power work through them. Can you imagine? But Jesus, He's a wise teacher, and He knows all things, and He redirects their focus on the screen. "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. This is the ultimate freedom, right? This is the greatest source of joy that we have, not found in earthly power, not found in political victories, not even in successful ministries, but it's found in the assurance of our salvation in Jesus Christ, the knowledge that you and I belong to God, that your name is written and secure in the heavenly book. On this July 4th weekend, we celebrate this national freedom, but let's never, ever, ever forget that our deepest joy and our most profound freedom are found in Christ alone. Christ alone. So the pursuit of happiness, so central in our nation's narrative, finds its truest fulfillment, not in material things, not in fleeting pleasures, but in the enduring peace, the abundant life that only Christ offers. It's the joy of knowing that you are forgiven, that you are loved, that you are destined for eternal life with God. And that spiritual freedom, then, I hope, will set you free to engage this world that we live in, not out of fear, not out of anxiety, but with deep abiding joy, knowing you're doing the work of the Lord, bringing the kingdom of God near to people, serving your neighbor, living out your vocation with integrity and purpose, that we are free to be salt and light in our society, that we're free to bring Christ's peace and truth into every sphere of your life. So again, on this Independence Day weekend, we give thanks for the blessing of the liberty of our nation. We also remember our call as Christians. We are sent out by Christ, just like those 72 in our gospel lesson for today. We're sent into the harvest field, living our freedom for the harvest. Let us be laborers, praying for more workers, willing to be those workers ourselves, bearers of peace, proclaiming the good news that the kingdom of God has drawn near, finding our ultimate joy, not in earthly achievement, but in our heavenly home, that your name is written in heaven. May the freedom we celebrate today, both civic and spiritual, empower us to live lives that honor God, serve the neighbor, advance His kingdom, and may God bless our nation. May He empower us, the church, number one, to be His faithful witness for true and lasting freedom found in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the freedom found in Christ. He has set you free to be free. Amen.